chapter 34 of the book of Exodus, and Moses was in the presence of the Lord on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, and during that time he did not eat nor drink water, and while he was there he wrote upon two tablets the words of the covenant, which are the Ten Commandments. And normally, as soon as you mention the word commandments, you think about rules and regulations and laws, and we say, I don't like them. I don't like anyone trying to restrict my freedom. I don't like my pleasures being denied me. I don't want anything that would conflict with my wishes. And, of course, commandments will do that. Bible says that man in his natural state is lawless. That is, he is against the law. He wants to break the law. He wants to get rid of the law. And yet these laws, the Bible says, are set in stone. And symbolically, man says, okay, then I will break the law. I will break the stone. And I guess that's really where the idea of breaking the law comes from, because in God's laws, you have to break the stone tablet. Some contend that the laws are just made to be broken. I don't know what your viewpoint is about the law of God, but normally in every church, it's the last thing the preacher knows he better preach on. He can preach on prophecy, he can preach on promises, he can preach on history, but he better not preach on the law, because the law steps on people's toes, the law upsets people, the law condemns people, and so the last thing that you want your preacher to preach on normally is, thus saith the Lord, and then he quotes some law or commandment of the Lord. And yet the Bible says, be ye holy. Well, you can't be holy unless you keep the law. And so we have a real conflict. We're told to be one thing, and yet we're against whatever it is that will make us become that, and that's the law. From early childhood, we get the idea that laws are bad news. Mamas and daddies make up laws. You can't do this. You can't go here. You can't touch that. You can't say this. And most children say, the laws are not good for me. They cost me more than they give me. They're more distasteful to me than they are pleasurable. So people resent the do's and don'ts of life. And when they grow up, they maintain this same childhood sentiment. I just don't like the law. Now, not all people have such a low opinion of God's commandments, nor do they consider the law of God a bitter pill they have to swallow to get the prayers answered and to get God's blessing, and so they don't look upon the law as something bad. Now, Jeremiah was such a person. He did not have a low opinion of God's law. He says in Jeremiah 10:23 and 24, O Lord, I know that the way that I should go is not in myself to decide. It is not in man that walks upon this earth to know how best to direct his path. Thus, Lord, correct me with your commandments. And Jeremiah was smart. He admitted man does not know what's best for his life, and he needs some guidance. Then you have the psalmist. In Psalms 119 said, Oh, how I love thy law. What? I have refrained my feet, verse 101, from every evil way, that I might keep thy law. Why? I have not departed from thy judgments. Why not? How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, they are sweeter than honey to my mouth. Why are they so sweet, psalmist? And then in verse 104 it tells us, It's through thy precepts and laws and commandments that I get understanding, that I learn how to live the best way to bring satisfaction and joy and purpose to my life. So the psalmist says, the laws are not good, they're good. And then Solomon in Proverbs 2, verse 6 through 9, the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He keeps the path of judgment and preserves the way of the saints. And thou shalt understand righteousness and judgments and equity and every good path. See, you have three men who say the laws of God are good. They're very beneficial. They're enjoyable. And so they really represent to us in the Bible the way we ought to look at the laws of God. Now, normally we think of the laws of God being represented by the Ten Commandments, and that's true. But if you step back a long ways and look at the Ten Commandments, what is God trying to tell man in His commandments? What would be the one basic theme of all Ten Commandments? Well, Jesus answers that question for us in Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." This is the great commandment. We say that's not one of the ten. Now, that's all the ten. Then the second he says is like unto that, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." You say that's not one of the ten. That's all the ten. The basic theme of the Ten Commandments is thou shalt know how to love. And with this love, you love God and you love man. Love is the message of the Ten Commandments. Now, would you say, are you against love? You say, of course not. I want to be loved. I want to love other people. Well, good. The Ten Commandments are exactly what you need. God makes the law and love one and the same thing. There's no difference. If you know the law, you know how to love. If you don't know the law, you never will know how to love. Now, it wouldn't sound right to walk up to your wife and say, "Honey, I law you." I've never heard anybody say that. "Honey, I law you." That doesn't sound quite as romantic as, "Honey, I love you," but they're the same thing. In our time, if I said, "I law you," you probably wouldn't like it. You'd be offended. Or you'd say, "I don't understand what you're talking about." So we appreciate the term, "I love you," but I tell you, "I law you," sometimes in this day and time, would probably be a lot more accepted and appreciated than "I love you." If you learn the law, the Ten Commandment law, then you'll know how to love somebody. Most of those who say to someone, "I love you," they have no idea in their mind what they're thinking about. They have no way in the world that they could analyze their love to you and make it understood. They can't explain to you what they mean. If they say, "I love you," and you ask them, "Well, what do you mean you love me?" They go, "Duh, duh, duh, I don't know." Well, if you know the Ten Commandments, I can tell you 10 ways to describe your love. And today, a lot of things that we call love are just the opposite. They're really lust. They're not love. Now, many people go through life and they never learn how to love God, and they never learn how to love other people. Will this be their husband, their wife, their parents, their children? That they never love. In a whole lifetime, they never love because they don't know how. Now, the Bible takes the position that man does not know by birth how to love. Actually, the Bible takes the position that if man is going to ever love, somebody is going to have to teach him. Somebody's going to have to lay down a blueprint. Somebody's going to have to tell him what would be the ingredients of love and explain them to him. And this is where most people never get love. Or why they don't get love, because no one can sit down and explain to them, here's what you have to do to love someone. You've all familiar with the person who picks a flower, normally it's a daisy. And normally it's a girl that's pictured doing this. But she takes the petals one by one and she says, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not." And she plucks one petal after the other from the flower. And when she gets down to the last petal, that petal will tell her whether he loves her or he loves her not. Now, if that's the way that you determine if a person loves you, you're in for a lot of sad surprises. Now, you ought to be able to identify a person's love. Does someone love you? You ought to be able to sit down and analyze by what they say and by what they do whether or not they love you. It should be simply that's the way you do it. So we need to make a mental checklist of tests. And by the way, there are 10, the Ten Commandments. And you can check out your love and the love of anyone else by just going through the 10 checklist. And when you get through checking off the list, you can say with assurance, "Yes, I love them," or "No, I don't love them," or "Yes, they love me," or "No, they don't love me." And no one understands that the checklist was given God to His people from the very beginning of the creation of his family on this earth. The first thing he wanted to do was teach them how to love him and how to love each other. And so he sets out and gives them on tablets of stone 10 commandments. Now, if you'd be a Christian, you would normally associate 1 Corinthians 13 as being the love chapter of the Bible. For there it gives you 15 ingredients of love. But long before Paul came out with his list of 15, God gave his list of 10 ingredients of love. And this morning, I want to spend the rest of my time, and though it will be very brief on each one, giving you the 10 commandments, which you probably know, or you may not. I remember a preacher in a revival one time stood up and said, I will give anyone here $20 bill. Right now, he took it out of his billfold, waved it in front of the congregation. I'll give you $20 if anyone in this congregation can stand up and tell me the 10 commandments in their order. And he didn't have anybody stand up, even attempt to get the $20. And I think the man was sincere, and had they done so, he would have given them the money. Because I'm going through these very rapidly, you might want to get a piece of paper and a pencil and write down these tests. I think they're worth remembering. They're worth learning. You probably know the 10 commandments, and if not, I'll refresh your memory this morning. But you will not know what that law is trying to teach you about love. We normally never associate the commandments, the 10, with 10 lessons on love. And so you'll know the 10 commandments as I go through them, but you won't know what that law is trying to teach you about love, and that's what you might like to write down. I always offer tapes of the messages if you'd like to have one, but just for your own sake and convenience, you might want to write these down. So if you have a piece of paper and a pencil this morning or a pen, you jot these down, because there are things that you can think about and the Lord can give you meditation over in days to come. First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods ahead of me. Now, what's that got to do with love, you say? That law, law number one, commandment number one, declares this about love. Love is loyal. Love is loyal. Thou shalt have no other. One of the greatest problems you have in families today, especially those concerning divorce, is unfaithfulness. Brethren, love is loyal. Love will die for someone. Love pledges allegiance. Love pledges support. There won't be another God. There won't be another man. There won't be another woman. There won't be any competition allowed in my life. I go to work, I work around men and women, but there won't be any problem for you, honey, because I have a law, and that law is I will be loyal. Thou shalt be loyal is commandment number one. And love thus assures the person being loved, you will come first. I will not allow a rival to step in and take your place. I will not do that. You see, love eliminates competition. And whenever you begin to find yourself, you see, becoming unfaithful in your thoughts, in your allegiance, then you're no longer loyal. And you're no longer showing a trait of love. Love is loyal. So you have the first one now. Thou shalt not have no other gods before thee. It's just simply the rule ingredient number one about love. Love is loyal. I'll stand by you. I'll stay with you through thick or thin, no matter what. For better, for worse. Love is loyal. That's what the first commandment's all about. Now, how can you love God and not do that? Loyalty is a primary thing in the eyes of God. Second commandment, thou shalt make no graven images and bow down before them. Now that law declares love is complementary. Love is complementary. Have you ever noticed idols that men make of what they think God looks like? They are hideous. I mean, they are grotesque. They are ugly. Half human, half beast. Weird teeth, horrible eyes. I mean, they are really ugly. If I was going to paint a picture of God, I could never paint one that would really depict His beauty and His majesty and His glory and all of His attributes. So no matter what I did, I would be decreasing from Him what He really is. I'd be taking from His glory. It would not be complimentary. It would be degrading. Love always searches in a person to find that which they can praise. How often do you praise? I don't mean flatter now and make it up, but how often do you praise another person? Love praises. Love is encouraging. Love is grateful. Love is complimentary. And so if I will not make any image of God, I'm doing that which will not, of course, insult Him. Do you insult your wife? Insult somebody you love? Love is complimentary. That's the second commandment. How complimentary are you? Are you rude and sarcastic? Or do you make a person feel like they're important in your eyes, that you're pleased with them, that you are contented with them? You see, love is complimentary. Third commandment, thou shalt not take the name of God in vain. Now, that law just simply declares love is reverent. Love is reverent. You hear young people say, why the old man, the old woman? Hey, they don't have love. Those who take God's name in vain in swearing, they don't have love. Those who run down someone sarcastically or by cutting words, declare that somebody is of no value and of no worth, you don't have love. Love is reverent. Love seeks to raise the value of a person in your eyes and in their own eyes. Love seeks to instill within them a sense of worth. The person who says, son, you'll never amount to anything. That's not love. That's not love. Love is reverent. It's not sarcastic. It declares that your feelings mean something to me. And I'm not going to deliberately do something to make you look bad. Do something to deliberately hurt your feelings. You're important. And so the law, the third commandment, just simply means love is reverent. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This law simply declares that love is sacrificial. What do you have to do to hallow or honor a Sabbath day? Well, you have to sacrifice your plans and your goals, and your pleasures, that somebody else may get their goals and their plans and their pleasures. In this commandment sense, directly it was God. In Isaiah chapter 58, we read this. God says, if you will not turn away your foot from my Sabbath, and you will do my pleasure on my day to my delight and call it holy, and honor me, and not do your things on my day, nor find other pleasures besides my pleasure, and you will delight yourself in me, that I will cause thee to ride up on high places. I'll bless you. But now that requires sacrifice. You know why people say, I love the Lord. Were you going to church this morning? Oh, no, no. Hey, love is sacrificial. That's what the fourth commandment is all about. That's what it's teaching you. Selfishness is just the opposite of love. And so love says, is there something I can do to bring you pleasure, something I can do to bring you happiness? And you say, yes, but it's going to cost you some plans. Oh, that's all right. It's going to cost you some money. That's all right. You mean you'll do that for me? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'll make sacrifices that you might be content, that you might be happy, that you might have some pleasure, that you might have some things you want. Now, love is sacrificial. And the mother that gets up in the middle of the night to give her baby a bottle of milk, she is exemplifying the fourth commandment. She doesn't normally get up that time of the night. She doesn't normally want to sit up with the baby, but I mean, the baby is important. And so the baby has a desire and a wish and a need. And so a mother makes a sacrifice. She is loving according to the fourth commandment. Okay? Fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. All that law declares is that love is respectful. There are debts that we owe certain people because of certain benefits they have presented to us. There are people who have a right to be helped, a right to be remembered, a right to be appreciated, and a right to be thanked. And so the fifth commandment just simply says love is respectful. It pays what is due. Your wife has cooked a lot of meals. She deserves of thanks. She deserves an appreciation. She deserves some applause. She deserves to be remembered. I mean, that's the fifth commandment. And she'd appreciate that kind of love. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. All that law simply says is that love won't hurt you. Love is harmless. Love is kind. You know, abuse does not ever come from a father or mother or anyone who loves someone. Love will not hurt somebody deliberately. Love guarantees that when you're in my presence, you're safe. You're safe. Don't have to worry about getting hurt. I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to hit you, abuse you. And this even means verbal abuse, not just physical, but verbal. Love is harmless. Some folks cut others to shreds with their tongue. Hey, that's violation of the sixth commandment. Love is harmless. You go around hurting somebody's feelings and making them cry all the time. You don't love them. Don't kid me. You don't. Say what you want to. You're breaking the sixth commandment. Number seven, I must hurry now. Thou shalt not commit adultery. This law just simply says love is pure. Love is pure. Love does not want to degrade another person's reputation. Do you follow me? Love does not want to get somebody else in trouble. A lot of the people now considering abortion, the whole ordeal started out with, oh, I love you. Listen, love would never create a situation requiring abortion. Don't call that love. Call that lust. That's exactly what it is. Love is pure. Love, yeah. You would not want to get somebody in trouble to the point that you could send them to hell. Oh, let's go out and do this. And in doing that, you get them to do something that God will condemn them to hell for because it's a wicked, ungodly act. And you call that love? Love is pure. Love does not want to destroy your reputation and your honor and your respect and your dignity. Love doesn't want to turn you into trash. Love does not want to get you in trouble with the law. With respectful people. The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal. Love is protective. Love says, I don't want you to lose the things that you desire. I don't want to take them away from you. I want you to have treasures. Ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Love is truthful. No gossip, no rumor, no hearsay. It's truthful. Last of all, tenth commandment, thou shalt not covet what belongs to thy neighbor. Love is unselfish. Love is unselfish. It enables you to rejoice over the good fortunes of other people without being jealous. Love is unselfish. 10 ways that you can love people. The Ten Commandments.